Our first reading is from Psalm 139, verses 13 to 24. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I invite you to stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. From Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 34. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." But he replied, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word that tells us the truth about who you are and who we are to you and what you have done for us in Jesus Christ and what that means for the rest of this life and for all eternity to come. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit now to come and take this ancient word that is so alive and make it alive in us, that it would be changing us from the inside out, setting us free and strengthening us and removing from us that which ought not to be. By your word and your spirit now, Lord, work within us. In Jesus we pray. Amen. So our gospel reading takes place on the night in which he was betrayed. I want you to just think about that. Jesus has just washed his disciples' feet, which we hear about in the Gospel of John. We don't really hear about that here in Luke. And he has been telling them about what's coming, that he is going to be put to death. He's been trying to encourage and strengthen them. And in all that's going on that night, The disciples start arguing about who's better than whom. I mean, how petty can people be? How inwardly focused? Well, we really can be. You know, I just find it so encouraging to read scripture, because we see ourselves in this, but we also see that we are not alone. So they're disputing among themselves who should be considered the greatest. Now, I don't think it probably started off like that. I think it probably started off with one of them kind of talking about some things that they were pretty impressed that they got to be a part of. Ways in which they got to minister the Lord's love around them. And then somebody maybe started feeling a little bit jealous and, well, you think that's cool. Look what God did through me. Who knows how it started? But they were a bit turned in on themselves. Luther actually described that as what sin does. And what sin is, being curved in on oneself. You know, we hear a little bit about that in the psalm. But it starts off with David just exulting in what God has done. God, you knew me from when I was this tiny little speck. While I was still in my mother's womb, you were forming me. You were watching me. So David is starting off just exulting in this part of the psalm over God's goodness in creation. And of course, we were starting in the middle of the psalm here. Last week, we heard the first half of the psalm that was just rejoicing in the fact that God never leaves us. There's nowhere that we go from his presence or from his goodness. So this is really a psalm of exaltation. But, you know, something starts to get revealed in David as he is worshiping. Maybe he starts to get a little curved in on himself. God has made him, and he's so impressed with what God has done. Then he begins to talk about how good he is compared to the people who are God's enemies, and how righteous David is that he hates them with his hate, that he wants God to just destroy them. Sounds probably righteous to David at that point. Except that somehow, in being curved in on himself, he's forgotten that all of these things that are true of him, how God never leaves him, how even if he makes his bed in the depths of hell, of Sheol, that God will be there, that how God formed him is the same truth about every single other person. God's great love for David is true, it is real, and it is amazing. And God has that same great love for everyone else that he has created. Now, I think we actually see the work of the Holy Spirit here, because after David has gotten done spewing about his righteousness, how good he is to hate God's enemies, he stops and says, "Search me, God. Know my heart. See if there is any offensive way in me." See, I think David has this little inkling that there was probably something not quite right about what he said, about these attitudes and feelings that he has towards the people that he thinks aren't living quite like they ought. Search me, God. Know my heart. You know, as Jeremiah says, There is a deceitfulness in our heart. Sometimes there are things about ourselves we don't even know and don't dare to know and don't want to know. We keep them hidden from ourselves, but they're not hidden from God. Sometimes they're not even really all that hidden from other people. Some of the things start to find their way getting expressed in life. Yeah. Our sinfulness sometimes takes us by surprise, sometimes doesn't take other people that much by surprise. It's been pretty obvious. It's true for Simon Peter. Didn't even know what was in him. He really believed that he would be loyal and faithful and able to follow Jesus all the way unto death. And within a few hours, was already pretending he didn't even know his Lord. I don't think that Simon was lying when he said it. He thought he was telling truth. He just didn't know some things about himself that God knew and didn't scare God off. In fact, Jesus says to him, you know, Satan's going to sift all of you. But I've prayed specifically for you, Satan, so that when you've returned, you'll strengthen your brothers. You see, the fact that Peter is actually going to deny Jesus, and we do hear in one of the accounts, Jesus hears him deny him. It doesn't cancel God's love for him. It doesn't cancel God's call for him or the purpose on his life. And in fact, Peter needs to discover that he's not all that strong on his own. And he needs to discover that he doesn't have this purity or righteousness in himself. And when he has discovered that, and he discovers the grace of God that forgives and calls him back, he will be able to represent and present the Lord from a humbler heart that is able to be gentle with the weaknesses in others. You see, it's when we're impressed with ourselves that we can be awfully hard on others. That's how it seems, right? It's true. However, it is also true that when we are terribly hard on ourselves, we will be terribly hard on others. Flip sides of the same coin, pride or insecurity, still being focused on self, and things that God needs to free us from in order for us to be all that he created us to be, in order for us to become and only what he created us to be. Sometimes it's scary, though, to know what's inside. And sometimes we think that we just need to go in and dig it out ourselves, figure it all out, clean ourselves up, and then we'll be ready to be out public, to be able to be witnesses, to be able to serve. Do you know that's not our job? David doesn't say, I have searched myself, Lord, and I know these problems about me, and here's my plan for how I'm going to fix them. That would be back to being curved in on self. I'm going to be in charge of fixing myself up. Now, there are things that we can't even discover about ourselves. It needs to be the work of the Spirit in His gentleness coming to us, Spirit of truth, with deep love, parting and setting His finger on and raising to the surface. And when the Spirit is doing this work in us, sometimes what we discover is that there are gifts and there are amazing things within us that we've not known. And again, this is one of the things that happens. Sometimes other people can see things in us that we simply can't see ourselves because of the hurt that we have. You know, we push away the encouragement that others might offer, the things that they might point out. And sometimes what the Lord needs to do as He searches us is put His finger on some of the old wounds that have distorted our perceptions about ourselves or cause us to have distortions about others. And He wants to put His finger on, and sometimes that really hurts, but it's got to go back to that point of the pain so it can get cleaned out and healed and built up. And sometimes He puts His finger on things that are just ugly. Things that were from our rebellion. Things that we now carry with a sense of regret. And we weren't made to continue to carry those things. He wants to free us from all of that, which has already been paid for in the blood of Jesus. And so He'll put His finger on some shame and sometimes show us what was underneath that? What was the lie that we were believing that gave way to this sin? What was the sin beneath the sin, the root that needed to be addressed? It's not always very pleasant being searched. But when it's the work of the Holy Spirit, it's so very good. It's so very worthwhile. It's so very freeing and strengthening. Now, let me make clear. It is not our job to search ourselves. That's the work of the Spirit, right? We cannot be the Holy Spirit to one another. It is not our job to go looking and identifying the things in somebody else that need to be addressed. It is our job to stand with and stand for and stand alongside in genuine Christian community, loving those who God loves as much as He loves us. None of us superior to another. All of us on equal ground before the cross, each of us with the same need for a Savior. Some sins don't sound as serious to us. And truly, some sins cause more pain in more lives. There are differences in the impact of certain sins. But all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. And none of us is righteous in ourselves apart from Christ. Back in Malachi, there's the story of, or the prophecy about the day of the Lord coming. Who can endure his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the Levites, refine them like gold and silver. Let me remind you again how this refining process worked. The silver would be heated in a crucible. And as it became molten, the impurities would rise to the surface, and the refiner would scoop away the impurity. And the refining process was done when the refiner's face was perfectly reflected in that silver. The refiner had no delusion that there was no impurity in that molten mass. Just was not discouraged by the fact it was, because that's the refiner's job, to bring that impurity to the surface so it can get dealt with. And that's why the Lord isn't surprised at the brokenness in us, the brokenness that comes out as sin. He just wants to deal with it. And he does. Back again to the beginning of Psalm 139. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. There's nothing about us that takes him by surprise. He knows who we are. He knows who we truly are, who he made us to be. Now, sometimes in the pressures of life, we start discovering some things about ourselves that we just didn't know were in there. And it comes spilling out of us and affects the world around us. And sometimes that's disappointing, and sometimes that's embarrassing. But God just isn't going to give up on us. And we must be people who will not give up on one another. We aren't to be the people criticizing one another. We are to be the people calling out of one another who they truly are, encouraging one another to discover who their true identity in Christ. Standing with people in some of the uncomfortableness of dealing with what has been hidden in the heart. David thought his hatred of the enemies of God was a righteous thing. Didn't even know how unrighteous his attitude was. But he has a God who loves him as he is and won't leave him as he is. We have a God who loves us as we are, will not leave us as we are, is always inviting us to become more free, more whole, more loving, by discovering how deeply we are loved. Amen.